I'd like to call the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration to order. The sergeant suggested that the interference that we're hearing on the mics is probably sourced by iPads and iPhones and maybe not computers, but maybe in particular iPads because of the 3G or 4G facilities. So anyhow, it's important that we're able to hear, especially for the tape. So I've turned my phone off, which pretty much kills me, but I've done it. It would make Joe Faust happy if he were here, but he's not. So my phone's off, and if people can turn their phones off so we don't have a lot of background noise, that would be great. Okay. Representative Carlson moves the minutes from the last meeting from January 31st, 2013. They're in your red packet. Does anybody have any questions about the minutes? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion adopted. Thank you, Representative Carlson. All right. So I want to thank the committee members for the work that we did in the informational hearing last week, because I do think that it helped us understand some of the concerns and questions. And while I know that there is still going to be different points of view on some of these amendments, today, I think that it was helpful, at least for me, and I think for other committee members, to see the contours of what's being proposed from different perspectives. And so we'll work our way through the rules tonight with the goal of getting them adopted and on their way to the floor. And we do have, I think, 14 amendments tonight, so I think we should probably just get started. Mr. McCormick will be able to help us understand how the amendments will be engrossed if we have questions about that. And I did a little review of previous floor debates, at least since I've been elected, and it seems like we do more of our work on permanent rules on the floor than we do in committee, or we spend more time on the floor than we do in committee. And there's been different, you know, sort of lengths of time, depending on the issues and who's probably in the majority and the minority. And, you know, if anybody's interested in those fun facts, I'm happy to share them. But I want to make sure we get the issues and the amendments moved through tonight, that we move our way through, get the rules, from my perspective, adopted and on our way. And so if it pleases the committee, we'll just get started. And so I would like to begin with the A1 amendment, which I believe is Representative Lincheski's amendment. Representative Lincheski.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And Madam Chair, I should say that the Hennepin County delegation of legislators is meeting right now, and so some of us are going in and out, and I know Representative Loon is chairing it, and amazingly, she's sitting here at the same time. The miracles of multitasking. So I'm sorry I was a minute late. I do want to speak to the A1 amendment, if I may, Madam Chair. And I have to say, listening in our last meeting to everybody talk about the proposed rules, there are a few I had concerns about, and so I put this in amendment form. Since that time, I learned that the chair is intending to do something similar in an amendment she's got later. So, you know, I'm not going to move it. I was thinking I would move it and withdraw it, but for the sake of the minutes, I won't. I just wanted to speak to the concept. I understand the idea of having a deadline where no more bills can get introduced, but not a big fan of it. So I was trying to at least move it to maybe, you know, the final few weeks. And that is because I think, particularly in the area of taxes, a lot of ideas come in late when people are beginning to finally compromise. But also because often that's when I will put bills in that I'm concerned about for the next session, so that interim work can take place. So I won't move it, but I hope the committee will think about changing that concept. And I know it was permissive that this committee could come up with a time frame to stop bill introductions, but I like the concept of folks being able to introduce them. So the amendment was an attempt to at least extend us out toward the very end. And so with that, I'll just... that was just my piece on that, and I understand that, Madam Chair, you have an amendment that's similar later. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Lincheski. I would like to see if someone wants to move the A2 amendment. Representative Hortman.
Madam Chair, that was my amendment, and I understand that you'll be addressing that issue in your amendment, and so I'm not going to be offering the A2.
All right. Thank you, Representative Portman. And then I'd like to move to the A7, which is my amendment. And I want to, again, thank people for the discussion that we had in committee last Thursday evening. And I think you lifted up some issues that I thought, as I talked with members afterwards and over the course of the weekend, we could address tonight. And so the A7 amendment, I'd like to move the A7 amendment. And it does three things. Representative Anderson, to your point, it puts a limit on new bill introductions, but not earlier than May 1st, and it remains permissive as it is in the rule now. And again, the reason why this rule is being considered is to make sure that we're giving our staff ample time to do the work at the end of session. But it was drafted in a way that was unclear, and Representative Anderson, you called that up, and so my amendment says that that rule cannot be invoked, if it's invoked at all, before May 1st. Secondly, it strikes some language on page 4 of the rules that would give this committee different or more authority to change the pre-filing amendment, and that was not our intention, and so it strikes that language. And then finally, dealing with the issue, the rule on corrections, Representative Dowd, you made a point about the speaker's authority and allowing one member power, and so the amendment adds the language without objection, so the speaker would have the ability to send a bill back to the Rules Committee without objection. So it would, if one member had an objection, it would then mean that we would have to take a vote. And it is just to reflect what was the intention when we drafted this, that by unanimous consent we could send something back to Rules because we agreed. And so that is the content of the A7 amendment, reflecting, I think, points of discussion that we had here on Thursday evening. Are there questions? Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to hear from staff to find out just how they handle late bill introductions and just how much of a problem it is to deal with them during the session.
Mr. McCormick.
Madam Chair, there are other people who can testify as well if you'd like. The revisor's here. And Mr. Shepard's here. I'll say that you can't really, if for myself speaking as the Director of House Research, you can't really generalize from session to session. I can tell you that the most difficult session would be a session in which we did two or three rounds of omnibus bills and got each round vetoed by the governor, and then created a second round and got that vetoed by the governor, and then created a third round. In a hypothetical like that, toward the end of session, getting anything done, including additional bill drafts, gets difficult for some of our staff. In the next session over, where things don't churn through that at that level of intensity, we can draft as many bills as you'd like. So it's impossible to generalize. And I don't know if someone else would like to weigh in.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Follow-up. So is there a way of prioritizing that work then when... if things do get jammed up, that you prioritize omnibus bills and leave other bill submissions till later? Or how do you handle an onslaught of too much work?
Mr. McCormick.
Representative Torgelson, the primary method in the last 3 weeks of session is to prioritize bills that are closer to passing into law. And yet we strive and absolutely attempt to get every request done by a member. And that means that, for example, Representative Torkelson, if you have a particular request that it may be in the water area, and our water staffer, Janelle Taylor, is putting out three different omnibus bills on the last days of session, you might get me drafting your water bill, doing my best job, but we'll strive to get it done. You also might get me walking up to the revisor and asking them if they can do it. In a rare, unusual, and much lamented occasion, I might even ask a Senate staffer to step in and help with a House bill draft. But I would strive never to do that.
Never do that.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you. Just one more question along these lines. So in the event that you prioritize other bills and leave something for later, it seems that, you know, a lot of these late introductions are not really meant for the floor. They're meant for attention in the interim. What is the requirement there in order for a bill to be introduced properly to be addressed during the interim? Is there some timeline that affects that?
Madam Chair, members, if a bill is introducible, it can be introduced right to the very last day of the legislative session in the first year, and up to last, except for the constitutional deadline in the second year. So if we can get the bill done to the revisor and jacketed, then it can be introduced. And there are many a day on the last day of the session where a bill's introduced. If a bill's not introducible because it can't get done, the concept can't be put in place, there are a wide variety of ways that a member can publicize the bill. If, for example, the first example would be if the pre-filing date is established by the House. Sometimes that's December 15th. That can be a way that a bill can be pre-introduced and made public on the website. A member can put on their own web page or can find their own way to publicize a bill draft by stating that they have a bill draft. At that point, though, however, it's not an official bill of the House of Representatives. And if that matters to a member, then they don't get to have an official bill.
And Representative Torkelson, I do want to say, and we mentioned this, I think, on Thursday evening, but just so the committee members know, we have the capacity and have done in a number of interims when I have, since I've been elected, there's an interim filing window that we can open up in June and again in the fall so that we can accomplish bill introductions after session. So if we were to invoke this, it would really be a breather for the staff for those last couple of weeks of session while we're getting through those last weeks, with the opportunity then to have bills, you know, shortly after the end of session introduced again. Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Just a comment. It seems like the staff has handled this very adequately in the past. There are a number of mechanisms that allow them to adjust their workload. I know they do put in some late hours during that last rush, but they've done a great job in the past, and where in some cases bills need to be introduced because it's the desire of the member to see that they're introduced. With that, I'll leave it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Hortman?
Just briefly, Madam Chair, the reason I withdrew my amendment is you covered it here in 1.7 and 1.8, and Representative Dowd raised this issue before. And the specific example for members who were here then was in 2005. We had the Transportation Finance Bill on the floor, and Representative Earhart offered an amendment that Representative Swigum did not expect would be adopted, and the body adopted the amendment. And even though the Speaker didn't like it, the bill changed, and we have one of our constitutional amendments because that happened. And if the rule weren't changed, as the Chair of the Rules Committee is proposing here, we would have a situation that Representative Dowd raised where if an amendment was attached to a bill, the Speaker could kill the bill. And so this gets rid of that situation and greatly diminishes the power of the Speaker. So, Madam Chair, I think this is an important change. I'm glad you're making it.
Thank you. Representative Pawlowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just as an alternative approach, rather than introducing a bill can be worked on over the interim at some length and never be introduced. I'll give the example of what happened with Chapter 12A. That bill was worked on in six drafts with 13 different agencies under Governor Pawlenty by a DFL legislator, myself, and those drafts went to 13 agencies six times. By the time the bill was introduced in January of the next session, the bill was almost complete. It went through both House and Senate committees, and there was basically one change. So sometimes you don't need to introduce a bill, you just need to work on it. And there is a huge difference between working on a bill and just introducing it to get publicity.
Thank you, Representative Pawlowski. Seeing no other questions, I renew my motion on the A7 amendment. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. And the motion is adopted. Thank you. Next, I would like to take up, I'm just going to take these in order. So the A3 amendment.
Madam Chair.
Representative Dowd.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I actually would like to jump in and offer a different amendment if that's possible.
Representative Dowd, which is the amendment?
The amendment would be the A21 amendment, and it was one that was not submitted ahead of time.
The A21 was not submitted ahead of time?
Correct.
And
I have it here.
Why are we offering it?
Well, it actually came to my attention. A member brought it to me today. But I want to distribute it so you can read it, and so the members can read it. So if a
Representative Dowd,
Paige, could
I know this is probably just an early test, right?
No, it's actually not.
But the amendments were to be to us by 6 o'clock on Friday, and so the amendment's not in order.
According to the Madam Chair, if you'll allow me the ability to speak about it. According to the rules, your rule number 4 for the committee, please have all substantive amendments to the committee legislative assistant 24 hours before the committee meeting for which a bill has been scheduled for a hearing. Members are encouraged to have all amendments drafted by the reviser or House research staff. So this refers to a bill. This really isn't a bill. It's a resolution. The House rules are a resolution. And we could certainly ask staff for a clarification on that, but that's my understanding. And it was my intent to meet the 24-hour rule. This was actually brought to me by a member who's not on this committee and didn't know about this rule. That I know that you did your best job that you could, and I appreciate that. That's why I'd like you to see it. I don't think it's even a controversial thing. But the rules were sent out at 3:30 on Friday, and she wasn't even aware of that. So she didn't know that she needed them in by 6 p.m. Friday for us to submit them in committee. And I know she can certainly bring this to the floor, but it's Representative Holberg, and I certainly don't want to make her mad, so I hope that we can just take it up. But I'd like to have everybody look at it at least.
Representative Dowd, if it'd be okay with you, I'd like to take a look at the amendment and move on through the list and
sure,
consider that.
Fine.
Thank you. So I'd like to take up the A3 amendment.
Madam Chair.
And if you can bring me a copy, or just bring me a copy of that, please. Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, I move the A3 amendment.
Representative Anderson moves the A3 amendment. Would you like to explain your amendment?
Sure. What this amendment does is it eliminates any committee within the House from having a 24-hour rule requirement for amendments. Much of the discussion that we had last week was centered on the fact that the work needs to be done in the committee. And though I do not support the permanent rules as proposed here today, I do think that if that's the route that we're going to take, then we need to make sure that the committee process is open and that citizens can participate as well as the legislators that have been elected by the public. And getting rid of the 24-hour rule will help us in that and making sure that people have the time that they need in order to look at this legislation and make changes as it goes. And especially when we're talking in committee, a lot of times we have discussions and receive testimony about different issues. That gives us a better idea of what it is, what's the aim of a piece of legislation. And so we shouldn't be bound by a 24-hour rule requirement when we haven't even heard testimony from the public on the bill. And I think that's really key. You can't expect a legislator to offer amendments to a piece of legislation before the bill is even heard in committee. If we are truly going to be thoughtful about it, we need to have the flexibility for members to be able to do amendments as committee process is going on and as they're hearing the testimony from the public and citizens that would be impacted by the piece of legislation. So with that, I would like for your support, and I would ask for a roll call.
A roll call has been requested. Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My committee is one of the committees that has a 24-hour rule, and the purpose is to make certain that the public knows ahead of time what issues will be discussed. I would encourage members to vote no, and if I'm not mistaken, Senator Representative Anderson, your redistricting committee had a 24-hour rule as well, mm-hmm. So that is not inconsistent with your own practice.
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you. The difference, though, between my committee having a 24-hour rule and your committee having a 24-hour rule is that legislators, when they came to the House floor, they could still amend that bill. And what you're saying here today is legislators would not be able to essentially amend that bill on the House floor. So there's a huge difference on what we're looking at as far as rules overall. And if we truly are going to be able to give citizens the opportunity to amend a piece of legislation in committee and making that our work is going to be in committee, then this is the amendment that we need to adopt.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. And I'm going to repeat this. This will be my refrain. The pre-filing amendment in 24 hours does not mean amendments can't be filed. Amendments, as many amendments, and I continue to hear the drumbeat that there are going to be lots of amendments because of this rule, and that will be the choice of the minority if that's the choice they make. But there's not a limitation on the number of amendments. There's not a limitation on the length of the debate. All we are saying is that we should come to the floor prepared. I think it was a standard that was set in the last biennium. 24-hour rules were adopted in many committees. It was a little frustrating in the beginning, but we got our work done. The bills got to the floor. We had a thoughtful debate in the committee. If we didn't get the bill done, it got held over and we could finish it up. But I don't think that having the transparency that results in notice to the public and to committee members about seeing what the amendments are is a detriment to the process. I think it enhances it, and I would ask committee members to vote no. Are there any other questions? Representative Doubt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a comment, and I appreciate Representative Anderson bringing this one forward. And I appreciate your comments as well. I think this isn't a partisan issue. Some members like a 24-hour rule, some don't. I personally don't like it. I didn't like it then. I don't like it now, particularly in committee. And the reason is I think we're sending a mixed signal to the general public when we ask them to come and testify on a bill, and we don't have the ability to take their testimony and actually change the legislation in that committee. And then the committee moves on to a different, or the bill moves on to a different committee that has a different subject area, and then that chair won't let you change that, you know, based on the prior thing. So I think it helps us do our work better and be more responsive and more reactive to public input, and I think that's what we need here in St. Paul and in our committees. So when we invite people to come in and testify, and I think it's great when we have those people that come in and testify, and very often they're experts in this subject area, we need to be able to have the ability to amend that bill in committee so that we can actually react to something they might bring up in the committee. And if we're really committed, we can't say one thing and do another. If we're really committed to doing our work in committee where the work probably should be done, we should be able to amend the bill in committee based on the testimony in that committee. And it's in that committee where we should make the change, because that's the subject area that's relevant. Having it move on to a different committee or then onto the floor is, I think, disrespectful, and it tells the public that we don't really care about their opinion, or we're really not going to allow them to participate in the process at a point where they can actually, you know, see a change made to the bill. So just my two cents. It's fine, and we can certainly agree to disagree, but I think we need to honor the public, and when we invite them to testify, we should show them through our actions that we actually can take their testimony and make a change to the bill if they suggest something that we agree with. So that's my point of view. Thank you.
Representative Dowd, and I think we share the goal of honoring the public and just see the path somewhat differently. I know that we've talked a lot about the health insurance exchange. It has been heard in committees and sometimes twice in committee. The author and the chair have the control and the authority to say if a bill is ready to move forward or not. So we're not going to create the opportunity for somebody to come and testify and not be able to hear that and react to that. That opportunity exists, and it will exist under the rules, even if a chair chooses to instate a 24-hour rule. There are no other questions, then Representative Anderson renews her motion on the A3 amendment, and a roll call has been requested. Ms. Nachtigal.
Representative Murphy.
No.
Representative Albright?
Yes.
Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Representative Benson?
No.
Representative Carlson?
No.
Representative Doubt?
Yes.
Representative Dean? Representative Earhart?
No.
Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Hillstrom?
No.
Representative Portman?
No.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Representative Lilly?
No.
Representative Loon?
Yes.
Representative Moline?
No.
Representative Norton?
Pass.
Representative Pawlowski?
No.
Representative Pepin?
Yes.
Representative Purcell?
No.
Representative Sanders?
Yes.
Representative Torkelson?
Yes.
Representative Ward?
No.
Representative Woodard?
Yes.
Eight ayes and 13 nays. The amendment is not adopted. Next, I would like to move to the A4 amendment.
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson S.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What the A4 amendment does is it requires that we have a mandatory 3-day notice to the public and to legislators and to the lobbying community of legislation that is going to be on the agenda. Under our current rules, the item says as far as practicable. It just removes that and makes sure that there is an absolute must requirement for having a 3-day notice. I've heard from many folks here discussing the new rules that this is about transparency for the public. And I think you can't have any better transparency if you're going to require that every chair is providing a 3-day notice both to the legislators and the public about what bills are going to be heard. So that's what this amendment does. And I'd ask for your support and ask for a roll call as well, please.
A roll call has been requested. Are there questions? I think that adding an absolute requirement does undermine the flexibility that we want to see in the committees. We want the committee chairs and the committee members and the bill authors to be able to do the work in committee, and by adding a very fixed absolute requirement, it undermines that flexibility and it will make it harder for the committees to do their work. So I would ask the committee to vote no.
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
So you want to have flexibility here, but you don't want to have it in other places. So basically what you're saying to the public is we don't want to give you a 3-day notice. I don't think that that's something hard or difficult to ask for, especially given everything that you have said so far, that these rules about transparency, you can't get any more transparent in asking that chairs notify the public 3 days in advance of what bills they're going to hear in committee. I can't imagine any chair that couldn't give a 3-day notice of what bills are going to hear in committee.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. I do want to make sure that the committee members know, because we've been talking a lot about the committees and the chairs, and we are working hard with their chairs to make sure that we are abiding by the rules, which has a 3-day notice requirement when practicable. And striking the when practicable and making it absolute and fixed, I think will make the process more difficult. And Representative Dowd has been very clear, as we've talked back and forth, that we're not trying together to wrap this process up around the wheel. We are trying to make it work. And I do think adding the word an absolute and fixed requirement would do that, would jam us up when we don't need to. We're going to work hard to make sure we're following the rules, but I want to make sure that the chairs have flexibility. And that is why I'm asking members to vote no. Are there any other questions? And then Representative Anderson S. renews her motion on the A4 amendment, and a roll call has been requested.
Representative Murphy?
No.
Representative Albright?
Yes.
Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Representative Benson?
No.
Representative Carlson?
No.
Representative Dowd?
Yes.
Representative Earhart?
No.
Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Hillstrom?
No.
Representative Hortman?
No.
Representative Lencheski?
No.
Representative Lesch?
No.
Representative Lilly?
No.
Representative Loon?
Yes.
Representative Moline?
No.
Representative Norton?
No.
Representative Pawlowski?
No.
Representative Pepin?
Yes.
Representative Purcell?
No.
Representative Sanders?
Yes.
Representative Torkelson?
Yes.
Representative Ward?
No.
Representative Woodard?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Johnson?
No.
There being 8 ayes and 16 nays, the amendment is not adopted. I would like to move, I'd like the A5 amendment.
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson S.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move the A5 amendment. Members, what this does is it requires us that chairs, when they're holding their committee hearings, that they stay within the allotted time that they have scheduled for them. And I put this forward for a couple of different reasons. If we're going to limit the public's ability to change legislation in the committee process, then we want to give them the opportunity to at least know when a committee hearing is going to start and when it can end, so that they know, the public knows, when they can participate. If they have a for sure time that they know this committee is going to be meeting from this time to this time, it at least gives them the opportunity to participate in the process or make arrangements so that they can participate in the process. I think this is a key element. Again, if this is the goal here with these new rules is for greater public participation and transparency, this amendment makes it even better. Oh, and Madam Chair, I ask for a roll call as well, please.
A roll call has been requested on the A5 amendment. Representative Carlson.
Madam Chair, I'll respond as the chair of a committee that has often major pieces of legislation. Basically all the omnibus bills will ultimately go to the Ways and Means Committee, and we always have a set start time in the morning, but some of those bills, by the time you get them presented and so on within the allotted time, if there are amendments offered, sometimes you have to recess and reconvene in the evening. And I think that the way this amendment reads, it's relatively vague when it comes to that situation. So I would encourage a no vote, because it makes it hard for a committee chair that's got some of those omnibus bills before them, at least, to manage their committee time and get those bills through in a timely manner.
Thank you, Representative Carlson. Representative Lesh.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question for Representative Anderson. I'm wondering, if time runs short, who do you think should be cut off? Should it be the committee members or the public who are there to testify?
Representative Anderson S.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Lesh, I have another amendment to address that issue. I don't think anybody should be cut off, but if the goal here is about transparency, then certainly you're going to want to make sure that the public is aware of when these bills are going to be heard and what the time frame is. By you saying voting no against this amendment, but I'm not assuming that you're going to do that, but if you were to vote no against this amendment, you're basically saying to the public, not only can you not have any input on changing this legislation if you were to come and testify, but now you could be meeting at, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, when maybe citizens don't have the time to do that. So I think if we're truly going to make sure that the public is aware of what's going on here and that they have the opportunity to participate, this is something that we need to do. Now, as I've said earlier, I'm not a big fan of these proposed rules that are before us here today, but I'm just trying to make a little bit of lemonade out of lemons that we've got before us.
I understand that, Madam Chair.
Representative Lesh.
And I appreciate that. I'm just looking for a little guidance, because I am a chair, and I'm wondering who I'd cut off and who would be more mad. So I'm looking to make the least amount of people mad when time runs short. So thank you for the explanation, Representative Anderson.
Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Anderson, I just had a question. Did we do this last session?
Representative Anderson S.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Purcell. No, and you know why? Because we didn't have rules in place that limits the public's ability to amend a bill in committee. Because right now, as it stands, what you're proposing here to do today is that there would be a piece of legislation in committee, the public would come to testify, they would suggest to you, hey, you should make this change. But you know what? Because they didn't make the 24-hour rule that you have in these rules, they can't make a change to the bill. It's done. It's over with. And I think that's a huge disservice to the public, that we basically are saying we are predetermining to them that we are not going to listen to their input because it's a done deal.
Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm taken that we're arguing, it seems, on a couple sides of this, because some of the public might be advised given a set of rules, and others may not be advised given a set of rules. And what we're trying to do here is transparency, and having that we've got to have a specific times put forward, and when we may need to extend those times. And in this day and age, it just seems that, from what my experience, that the capacity to communicate is quite good. And I don't know, it seemed that if we really needed something like this, that it would have been put into place already. I'm struggling with that concept that now all of a sudden we need it, and I just don't see it that it's so necessary now at this time.
Representative Pawlowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Anderson has just stated that this, and I assume the previous two, were not rules that were considered when the Republicans were in charge. She's used the word transparency. Transparency also means to see through. And I think it's painfully obvious to anyone in this room, anyone who's listening to this in the public, you can see through why these amendments are being offered. And it isn't for the transparency of the public to have input. It's for the transparency of politics. And that's what has brought this country and this state to its knees. In the last legislative session, we have seen the largest shutdown in the history of this country and state. It's this type of transparency that's caused it. So if we're going to be transparent, you can also see through it. Let's try not to be transparent and do things in the open for the public when everyone can see and understand what we're doing and can also comment on it.
Representative Anderson S.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And final comment on this. You know, what we're doing right here is, this is Washington-style politics, Representative Pawlowski. This is about limiting the opportunity for people to speak and participate in the process. We're saying to the public that if you're coming to testify on a bill and you didn't meet the 24-hour deadline, you can no longer make a change to that bill. How is that helpful to the public and participation and being transparent? It's not, and I think we all know that.
Representative Pawlowski.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, considering that your argument is it is more transparent to operate in the middle of the night at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and generate hundreds of amendments to which the public has no opportunity to testify, to which members have no idea what the amendments mean. Let's put on a scale what's more transparent. To post your amendments in advance so that the public can see them, so that everyone has a chance to at least have some understanding of what they mean, or let's generate hundreds of amendments in the dead of night with no idea what they mean and no public testimony. Which of those two is more transparent? I think having people see them, being able to react to them and understand them, is not only transparent, but it's what we should have been doing for a long time.
Representative Dowd.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Pawlowski, I'll remind you that what's good for the goose is good for the gander here. And if you want to talk about transparency, you took testimony on all of these rule changes in 2007. And when you went into the minority 2 years ago, you didn't offer these as an amendment to the rules. So, you know, if we wonder why that is the case. If they weren't good for you in the minority, why you think they might be good for us in the minority?
Representative Pawlowski.
Madam Chair, Representative Dowd, if you'd read the entire report, the intent of the report was to offer suggestions for future legislative sessions, that they could take a look at these suggestions and select which of them that they thought would be best, and hopefully that it would be an ongoing process. So, Representative Dowd, I will put it to you this way. I was chair of GovOps. We had hearings, 8 of them. I invited the entire House, Republicans and Democrats. We had the Revisor's Office. We had House Research. We had the Government Relations Committee testify. So, Representative Dowd, what we're working off of now is testimony that was done in public in the middle of the day with testimony, and I would hope that it's still going to be ongoing, that future legislators will look back and say that maybe there is some good here and we can adopt it. Not all of it, but parts of it.
Representative Dowd.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Pawlowski. And I think I want you to know I have the utmost respect for you, and I'm not continuing this to be belligerent here, but you certainly didn't answer my question respond to my comment, which was you had these public hearings, which you did in a very public manner, and you had the opportunity to present all of these ideas that you got from your public hearings when you went into the minority 2 years ago as an amendment to our rules. Okay, and I'll bring to your attention that our rules were so fair for the minority that Representative Thiessen, then Minority Leader Thiessen, voted for our rules on the House floor. So if this rule and all the things that you proposed are so transparent and so good for good government, why didn't you offer them 2 years ago when you went into the minority? Because if you really want to be transparent, if it was good for you in the minority 2 years ago, or excuse me, if it's good for us in the minority now, it should have been good for you in the minority 2 years ago. And I think we can see that the transparency isn't there on that test.
Representative Pelosi.
Madam Chair, Representative Dowd, you're talking to a legislator that authors very few bills and fewer amendments. I know it might be hard for the Republican Party to understand, but I am really a true believer that less is more in government. And again, these were recommendations, Representative Dowd. The intent was never to offer all of these. And I think if you're saying that your system was so good, and inside that system we had a record shutdown of this government, not only at the state level, but the federal level, I would say there is a flaw in your system, and a new direction is definitely needed.
Representative Dowd.
Madam Chair, I think we just, I certainly wanted to talk about what this committee deals with, and I don't think we want to start a discussion about why we had a government shutdown. And I just want to leave it at that. I think we want to have a respectful conversation here about what this committee deals with, but in an effort to help that along, I don't think having a discussion about what caused a government shutdown, and if you want to have that discussion, Madam Chair, we can go on for hours, and this will be a very long committee hearing. But the point of this is not to talk about that. It's to talk about rules, and that was my original point, to talk about the rules.
And Representative Dowd, none of our proposed rules will limit the length of time that we're meeting in committee. Just our good judgment will do that. Representative Pawlowski.
Madam Chair, Representative Dowd, Representative Arad has reminded me, too, that perhaps we should all agree then not to talk about Washington.
Seeing no further discussion, Representative Anderson S. renews her motion on the A5 amendment. There is a roll call. Ms. Noctegal.
Representative Murphy.
No.
Representative Albright.
Yes.
Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Benson.
No.
Representative Carlson.
No.
Representative Dowd.
Yes.
Representative Earhart.
No.
Representative Hansen.
No.
Representative Hillstrom.
No.
Representative Portman.
No.
Representative Johnson.
No.
Representative Lincheski.
No.
Representative Lesch.
No.
Representative Loon.
Yes.
Representative Moline.
No.
Representative Norton.
No.
Representative Pawlowski.
No.
Representative Pepin.
Yes.
Representative Purcell.
No.
Representative Sanders.
Yes.
Representative Torkelson.
Yes.
Representative Ward.
No.
Representative Woodard.
Yes.
Being 8 ayes and 15 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Next up is the A6.
Madam Chair, that's
Representative Dowd.
That's me. If it's okay, Madam Chair, I actually would like to just hold this one until later in the agenda, and I can give you a reason for that if you'd like. I actually really like this amendment. I think it's really good, and I think that if your side has a chance to look at this and think about it, that they'll see the light on that as well, and I don't want, because we had a little tense conversation here on the last one, I don't want that to cloud judgment on the A6 amendment. So if we can bring that one up later when we're getting along a little better, I think that might be helpful to that amendment.
Would you like to take up the A7 amendment? Right, we've adopted that. Some good news. Progress, right? I'll take up the A10.
Madam Chair? That's my amendment, and I thought about not moving this because I do appreciate what you did in the A7 amendment. However, Representative Torkelson's line of questioning about how difficult this is for the staff to be able to deal with introduced bills that late in session kind of had me thinking, I would really like to have this discussion, and I think this would be a good amendment. This amendment would eliminate the ability to restrict bill introductions, period, would just delete lines 19 to 22. And the reason why I was struck by staff when they discussed this is that, you know, the conversation is this becomes a problem when there's multiple omnibus bills that are vetoed by the governor. I would certainly, I'm going to propose that our omnibus bills in the next session would not be vetoed by the governor, that there is a lot of commonality between what the DFL majorities would like to see and what the governor would like to see, our DFL governor would like to see. So I don't think that's going to be a problem. And it was also commented on by staff that they do a triage, if you will, of these bills and say, you know, these bills probably aren't going anywhere. I'm not sure how they make that determination, but I'll go with that, that some of these bills won't be put into law. They can push them off knowing that there is a priority. I think the prioritization, we should give staff the ability to do that, and they certainly are smart enough to prioritize it. They've done a good job of that. I don't see this being a real issue going into the end of the session, again, being that we shouldn't see any vetoed omnibus bills. We should just have to go through those one time. So I would like to see this. I think it's really good for members. You know, I think it was called politics earlier before. It's interesting, you know, politics kind of has a bad name, but at the end of the day, it really is us advocating for issues and advocating for our constituents. And I guess I don't believe, again, I mentioned Pollyannish in my last speech in this committee, and I would say that it's maybe a little Pollyannish on my part, but I think members actually put bills in because their constituents really would like them to bring this up as an issue officially in the Minnesota House of Representatives. And even if it doesn't get a hearing, it's still important that we have the ability as the minority, as the majority, as any representative of 39,000 Minnesotans to introduce a bill at any given time during session. So I think this is important, and I would like to move the A-10 amendment and would ask for a roll call vote on that.
Roll call has been requested. I think that the committee's already had a fair amount of information on this topic. We've had a little exchange with Representative Torkelson and Representative Woodard. I would ask committee members to vote no. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, just one concern that I have, I know that you mentioned that you plan to do interim bill introductions, but for the first time in a long time, we didn't have interim bill introductions pre-session. Typically, we get a notice from the Speaker's office in December that you can pre-file your bill introductions for the upcoming legislative session, and we didn't have that. And can you tell me what kind of guarantees that we will have interim bill introductions? And in the past, we've had them two different times. Is that your intent?
Representative Anderson and members, there have been different, I think, applications of that opportunity. It hasn't happened consistently. It has happened in some interims and not in others, but it would be my intention, and I think the intention of the Speaker to be able to do that in the interim. We think it makes sense, given the concerns of members, that we do that, but we also think we should do it judiciously, making sure that the staff are able to focus at the end of the session on the work that needs to be done so that we can govern and get out of session, and then if we need to, we can open up that window, and it would be my intention to do that. Seeing no further discussion, Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just another question for staff. Is there any historic precedent for this particular approach?
Mr. McCormick?
Madam Chair, members, yes, there are a number of states that have bans or deadlines or cliffs on bill introduction. I can provide at a later time a list of the states, but I've got in the NCSL report a partial list of those states.
Representative Torkelson.
I was referring to the state of Minnesota.
Mr. McCormick.
Chair, members, no, I'm not aware of any.
Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, Representative Woodard renews his motion on the A-10 amendment, and a roll call has been requested.
Representative Murphy.
No.
Representative Albright.
Yes.
Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Benson.
No.
Representative Carlson.
No.
Representative Doubt.
Yes.
Representative Earhart.
No.
Representative Hansen.
No.
Representative Hillstrom.
No.
Representative Hortman.
No.
Representative Johnson.
No.
Representative Lincheski. Representative Lesh.
No.
Representative Loon.
Aye.
Representative Moline.
No.
Representative Norton.
No.
Representative Pawlowski.
No.
Representative Pepin.
Yes.
Representative Purcell.
No.
Representative Sanders.
Yes.
Representative Torkelson.
Yes.
Representative Ward.
No.
Representative Woodard.
Yes.
Being 8 ayes and 15 noes, the amendment is not adopted. Up next is the A-13. Representative Doubt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A-13 is my amendment, so I'd like to offer that and then speak to it.
Go ahead, Representative Doubt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This basically is our current, basically, I think, with a few very minor technical changes, and then we've substituted in the current majority party's committee structure. But this basically is the rules, the way we're operating right now, so our temporary rules. And I think, you know, as I've said in the past, and I'm not going to prolong this very long here, but you know, I think we're making a pretty drastic change, and I think that the rules that we operate under currently have actually served us pretty well. We've got a pretty long tradition in the House of operating under these rules, and or some variation of them. I'll note a comment that I made earlier to Representative Pawlowski. Our rules 2 years ago apparently were so fair that then Minority Leader Thiessen voted for them himself off of the House floor. My question for everyone is what was so bad about the current rules that we're operating under, and this is your opportunity to keep them in place, and we'll continue to operate under those temporary rules and make them our permanent rules. And I'd like to request a roll call.
Representative Doubt requests a roll call. Members, I think that over the course of the last hearing and now this hearing, members have made the case for why we want to make changes to the permanent rules to make sure that we are coming to the floor prepared and ready to debate, that we have an idea of the amendments that are coming from both the minority and the majority, so that we have come to the floor, we've read our bills, we've read the amendments, and we're ready to engage in a debate on the important public policy before us. And so I would respectfully ask that members vote no. And seeing no further discussion, Representative Doubt renews his motion on the A-13, and he's requested a roll call. Ms. Noctical.
Representative Murphy.
No.
Representative Albright.
Yes.
Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Benson.
No.
Representative Carlson.
No.
Representative Doubt.
Yes.
Representative Earhart.
No.
Representative Hansen.
No.
Representative Hillstrom.
No.
Representative Hortman.
No.
Representative Johnson.
No.
Representative Lincheski. Representative Lesh.
Yay.
Representative Loon.
Yes.
Representative Moline.
No.
Representative Norton.
No.
Representative Pawlowski.
No.
Representative Pepin.
Yes.
Representative Purcell.
No.
Representative Sanders.
Yes.
Representative Torkelson?
Yes.
Representative Ward?
No.
Representative Woodard?
Yes.
There being 8 ayes and 14 noes, the amendment is not adopted. Our next is the A-14.
Madam Chair.
Representative Doubt.
I actually appreciate you know, we had a discussion about these issues, both the A14 and A15, in the last meeting, and I appreciate that you handled both of them in your author's amendment, so I would respectfully decline to offer the A14 and A15 amendments.
Thank you, Representative Dowd. And then next would be the A17.
Madam Chair, I will take the A17.
Representative Sanders.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And members, you know, Representative Benson, I took your advice after the last committee, did a little bit of history and reading, and actually read Representative Pawlowski's report from the working group. And so what this amendment does is it reinstitutes the committee on the whole process, general orders and special orders for the Minnesota House. And I say reinstitutes because we actually use that process in the state of Minnesota for over 100 years. In fact, we just stopped using that process in 1999. One of the important things, I think, as we talk about transparency and how the you know, public may view our institutions, the Minnesota Senate still operates under this system. So if we are looking at transparency, it might be easy for the public to understand and see that both bodies operate in a very similar manner. As well, if the goal is to give more public input to correct or address mistakes or address the bill, this amendment does address that issue, since final action cannot be taken on a bill until at least the next or following day. It also allows flexibility to the majority, if the if they so wish, to skip the committee on the whole, the general orders, and proceed under special orders, which is very similar to how the House would operate on the House floor under the calendar of the day. So I think, Madam Chair, this really gets back to transparency, really allows for more public input, still allows the right of the member to offer amendments to serve their constituencies well. And with that, I would hope that members would support the A17.
Thank you, Representative Sanders. And, you know, smart description of this. And, you know, so many of us will have a chance to run for the Senate someday when we can actually practice this. But yeah, I'm not sure that it suits the House. So I would ask committee members to vote no. And hearing no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed say no.
No. No.
And the amendment is not adopted. Nice work.
I was here for many years.
Next is the A20.
You did eight every bill twice.
Oh, an A19.
Madam Chair.
Representative Loon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That is my amendment.
Thank you, Representative Loon.
You know, briefly, in listening to our discussion and, again, reading some of the materials from the committee, Representative Pawlowski's committee, and I thank you for sending that information around. It was helpful. But our discussion from the last Rules Committee about the concept and maybe slowing things down a little bit and being a little more deliberative about our process and that in the committee, before it goes to the floor, I think that's a good idea. And I'm not going to roll call this, and, you know, I would ask the chair to think about this, and members, I'm hoping we can have a little discussion, and if anybody likes the idea or wants to work on it before the floor, I'd be interested in that. But I think in many instances, we have bills on the calendar in committees that there's just no way that bill can be considered in one committee hearing. Maybe some will take a little less time, but I think if there's an opportunity for a bill to be before a committee at least twice before it's reported out, you'll have an opportunity for that ample public input. You'll have an opportunity for members to hear input, think about amendments before they file them and offer them. Maybe you're going to have some situations where you're resolving problems before they move on to another committee. That, honestly, has been a frustration in my short time here. That it's always, yeah, it's not ready yet, but we're going to pass it on to the next committee to be patched up and fixed. And the process just moves really fast. This is probably going to slow some things down. We maybe not get through as many bills as you have in the past under this system, but I'm not so sure that's a bad thing. And I say that no matter who would be the majority or minority party. I wouldn't have minded this myself the last 2 years, honestly. I think it makes for better legislating. So, you know, one of the things I noticed from testimony from outside groups or lobbyists in that, from Representative Pawlowski's look at this, was Phil Griffin. And one of the points that he raised in his suggestions for changes was that legislation is being amended substantially without the opportunity for public input. Bills are being introduced and adopted at record numbers. And one of the things he cited was unrealistic timelines or agendas. And that, you know, lining up a two-hour hearing with several bills to be passed doesn't allow for much question or discussion by committee members or the public, or conversely, 2 hours for a really major bill isn't a lot of time. And I know, you know, committee chairs may have discretion and they may have been around a long time and, you know, are able to kind of manage that. But every committee chair is different, and I think this would put kind of a good framework in mind for setting at least some kind of standard for a little more deliberation within the committee process. So I would ask committee members to think about this concept and this amendment.
Thank you, Representative Loon. Representative Lesh.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Loon, so my understanding is a reporting committee under Rule 1.20. So does this mean the last committee that bill hits just has to have two hearings, or a bill that has multiple stops, say it has to stop at 8 committees, does that mean it now has to have 16 hearings instead of 8, or is it just the last reporting committee before it goes to the general register?
Representative Loon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Lesh, thanks for the question. The way I had this drafted and my intent is that it would be each committee that a bill would be referred to would have the two-day requirement.
Okay. No other questions, Madam Chair?
All right. Seeing no further discussion, then all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, say no.
No.
The amendment is not adopted.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And if I could, if there's any interest in discussing this between now and the floor, I'd be happy to discuss it with you.
Thank you, Representative Loon. And then the A20.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That is also my amendment.
Thank you, Representative Loon.
And actually, some of this amendment was already was incorporated in the A7 amendment. So some of this really is already taken care of. So if I can just kind of go through and delete the lines we've already done, and if staff will track to make sure I'm doing this correctly. But I believe line 1.2 of the amendment that was part of the A7, line 1.3 was already accomplished in the A7 amendment. And so the meat of my amendment starts on page 1, or on line 1.4 of the amendment, page 11. And the basic intent of this legislation is that it removes the discretion, if you will, provided in the proposed rules to the Rules Committee to sort of waive the 24-hour requirement. So the 24-hour filing and then the 6-hour for second amendments would all be in place, and we would remove that discretionary power to the Rules Committee to waive that. Again, I think, you know, if the point and the purpose of giving more notice to members, allowing more notice to the public, more deliberation, having a process in which we allow the Rules Committee by a majority to just waive that defeats the purpose. It can be done for the convenience of moving legislation quicker when we get into a time crunch, but I think ultimately that's what we're trying to avoid here. We're trying to avoid that last-minute crunch, and it happens a lot with big bills, especially big finance and bills, and that's not something that we want to do. And so if we're going to have a 24-hour requirement, then let's put it in the rules, and let's keep it, and let's abide by it.
Thank you, Representative Loon. And, you know, this discussion that we're having really reminds me a lot of art and perspective, and one person's viewing of something before them and another person's viewing of something before them, and not necessarily seeing the same thing, though the work is right in front of us. And, you know, as I read through this amendment, I thought it was smartly drawn. But what I worry about is just the elimination of the judgment and discretion that we would have in this committee in order to be able to get our work done. And it made me think, as I was thinking about this discussion over the weekend, I was thinking about when I first practiced nursing, and there are a lot of rules when you're taking care of patients and a lot of orders that you're supposed to follow from, you know, physicians and policies, et cetera. And I worked at a med-surg unit, and I worked at night, and I remember taking care of this gentleman, and he had, I don't remember his condition, but he had a bellyache, and he wanted an acid, and it wasn't ordered for him. And it was on the med cart, and it would have been very easy for me to get him the antacid. But I didn't, because it was outside of a very fixed rule, and it didn't allow me to use my judgment or discretion, and that person suffered for it. Right. So I think that we are going to adopt in the end this amendment. And I understand if you believe that if it's the right thing to do, or if you don't believe it's the right thing to do, that it should be, you're arguing it should be fixed. But I think that this is a human process, and we should make clear to the public our intention about transparency, our goal to be thoughtful, our goal to be deliberative and accountable to the public. And I think we're doing that. But we do need to make sure we have the ability to waive that if necessary so we can complete our work. And so I am concerned just about the fixed nature of it. I really appreciate how smartly it's drawn and your thoughtfulness. But I would respectfully ask that members vote no. Representative Loon.
Well, I'll suspend if anyone else wishes to speak on this, if I'm the only one. I appreciate your thoughts, Madam Chair. And again, this is, I mean, going to a change of this nature, I think, is difficult. It's difficult for all of us to accept that, you know, we're maybe going to do things differently than we've done for a few years, and I get that. But again, I'm not sure that we can really see how this is going to work, and allowing the public more input, more time to digest what's going to be up for consideration by the legislature if we allow ourselves that escape hatch when it's convenient for us. There are times when it's not going to be convenient for us, and maybe those are the times in which the public most should know what's happening in advance. And it's going to take a little more planning and preparation with regards to the committee chairs and moving things to the floor, and, you know, that's probably a kind of a pain in the neck for folks, and I get that. But again, I think, you know, I hope we'll take another look at this and maybe making some tweaks before this, or when this comes to the floor, because I think we may make it too easy for ourselves to slip back into those habits. Let's try to make the change if that's the direction in which we're going to go, and try to abide by that.
Thank you, Representative Loon. Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I would speak in favor of Representative Loon's amendment. You know, it just seems like you're putting a lot of changes in rules and a lot of good ideas that you are bringing forward, but then it's, well, I guess just in case we don't want to abide by our rules, we'll give ourselves an outlet. You know, majority rules around here, and I guess that's just in the bottom line is there are no rules because the majority will do it however they want.
Representative Portman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I find this amendment a little bit confusing because I know one caucus doesn't really like the 24-hour filing rule, and the argument, there have been several arguments that have been made. There's all sorts of situations that could crop up where we wouldn't want to impose it, and then this amendment takes away the flexibility of the body to respond to just those types of situations. So I'm a little confused by it, and I think from the minority's perspective, it would seem to me it would make a bad situation worse. So that's just my take on it.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Hortman, I think you make a good point about this being very confusing, and that led me to my question that I would have for the chair of the committee. I guess I'm trying to understand the goal of the committee. I've heard transparency, I've heard discretion and flexibility, and we're sending a very mixed message here. Representative Anderson had a few amendments earlier. One was to take out the when practicable. We're going to put that 3 days notice up. So apparently, if you're a committee chair, you can use your discretion. Lines 11.28 to 11.31 say that although the chairs are allowed to have discretion, I apparently, as a member of the minority, am not allowed to have discretion because I have to put my amendment to bill the day before. So I'm not allowed to have flexibility the way I'm reading this. And so I'm really trying to understand what the goal is of these rules. It seems like when the rule is convenient for the majority, then we're going to allow for discretion. And when it's for the minority, we're going to say, no, we need to do this because of transparency. And to me, it's a big jumbled mess. Frankly, a couple of years ago, when we were here, and we were put under a gag order, Representative Pulowski, you talked a little before about these rules, and, you know, I know this has been an interest to you of rules. But, you know, when I was in the minority, and we were limited in how long we could talk, that prevented members of the minority from being able to speak. That was a horrible rule. I'm glad you're not doing that again. But I have to say, I mean, when Republicans were in control, we really tried to be fair. We removed that terrible gag order rule because we believed that the members of the minority had a right to speak. We believe that all of us represent citizens. And when I have a citizen that comes to me and a bill is being offered, and maybe they didn't see the bill yesterday, and they call me at my desk, and I'm going to have to say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't offer that amendment because I didn't meet the 24-hour rule or whatever it is. So all my flexibility, my ability to be able to represent my constituents is not there. That is not transparency. And so, Madam Chair, if you could clarify for me what the point of these new rules is. Is it so that you can have discretion for the committee chairs and flexibility for the committee chairs and flexibility and discretion for the majority? Or is it to provide transparency?
Representative Pepin, our job is to pass a budget and put in place the policies for Minnesota. And this is, as I have said, a human experience. It is a human process. The floor is the place where the public has the least amount of input. The floor is the place where we have seen, as Representative Pulowski said, hundreds of amendments filed and debated well into the night when the public has no input and when members don't have the opportunity to call back into their districts to say, this amendment's just been offered. I know it's 11 o'clock at night, and I don't know what it means. We've seen amendments. I've dealt with amendments that have passed on the floor that have a fiscal impact that nobody predicted. We have seen amendments passed on the floor and laws signed. Then memos coming from leadership of the House and the Senate saying, we didn't really want you to enforce that law. We didn't mean it to pass in the way that it did. We don't have to live under that set of embarrassments anymore. We don't have to do that. We can be more deliberative. And so we are suggesting with this rule that members, come to the floor prepared, knowing the bills that we're taking up, knowing the amendments that we will be debating, knowing the amendments to the amendments, debating, knowing the amendments to the amendments, so that the public has a say and they have some knowledge before we do it, and so we have some knowledge, so we can be more thoughtful. It is a human process, and let's not pretend we don't know what it's like, for those of you who are brand new, but there's nobody here that's brand new. One. There you go. For those of us who have been here before, we know at the end that the workload is difficult and challenging, and we need to get it done for the people of Minnesota. And that's why many of our rules have the ability to waive it, to change it, to end it, so that we can get our work done. We know that. I think that it's important for us to be deliberative, to be thoughtful, and to be transparent with the public. And the pre-filing amendment is not going to limit the number of amendments. It's not going to limit the time that we can debate. It is going to make us more thoughtful. It will make the process more transparent. Those are good government goals. That is the outcome of that is going to be a better legislative process and a better legislative outcome for the people of Minnesota, and hopefully a little less drama. Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, the problem I'm having with this is that it seems like you're going in two different directions. If your goal is to be deliberate and thoughtful, then that's fine. Then why did we vote down the Anderson amendments? It really seems like you're trying to have it both ways. And as a minority member, I really feel like every time I'm in the minority, the ability for me to represent my constituents is limited. And frankly, the reason for the Rules Committee and the reason for the rules is to protect the minority. And I believe that, and I think that we've done a good job of allowing the minority to talk as much as they want on amendments, because I believe that that's what they're called here to do. Even if you're in the minority, you ought to be able to represent your constituents. And, you know, earlier when we talked about the Anderson amendments, you talked about flexibility. Well, Madam Chair, I want flexibility to represent my citizens, because if I don't have an ability to bring an amendment up when I see something coming forward, then I'm not able to do that. And you may, you know, Representative Portman said that this is confusing and something. We're making a point here. The point is that these rules are contradictory and confusing. They're not bringing in the transparency that you think they are. And frankly, this feels a whole lot like the rules that we had in place a couple of years ago.
Representative Lesh.
Excuse me. Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Pepin, 6 years ago when we took the majority, there was that discussion about the previous question. And I didn't support it. There were members of my caucus that did not support it. We put it through, and it was put through in not a good way. And this year, when the issue came up about the 24-hour rule, I did not have the same feeling about the 24-hour rule that I did about the previous question, about cutting off debate. Because, frankly, when I look at the benefits of the 24-hour rule, I think it definitely outweighs to the point where I hope you keep it in place when you take the majority again. I hope you do, because I absolutely can foresee, and members around this table, our own party, can foresee amendments that come through of members from our own party for whom we say, are you seriously advancing the debate and offering this amendment? And I absolutely think that this will make for better legislation from both sides of the aisle when you actually have serious amendments. No, no buts about it. There will be members from each side who they work the angle ahead of time, see something coming up 24 hours later, and they still offer their goofy gotcha amendment, and we end up having to deal with it. However, it seriously diminishes a substantial number of those, and I believe it reduces sloppiness. It will reduce sloppiness. So that's why I support it. I think I can genuinely support it. I do not think that it seriously impacts the minority, because both sides have to adhere to it, but I think it reduces sloppy amendments on both sides, including my own. So that's why I think I appreciate your statements about the previous question not being brought up, but I think this is an absolutely different kind of rule that benefits both sides of the use.
Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I'm good at this.
I just wanted to go back, Representative Pepin, to, if I understood you right, talking about the time constraints that were imposed on hearing bills. 4 years ago, was it? And that those times were negotiated, as I understand. And this was my first session, and I would challenge anybody to go back and look at those tapes and say that there was a gag rule on anybody on the House floor. That was in my first session. It was unbelievable to me just how dysfunctional this place was, especially on the floor. I couldn't believe it. And so to say that there was somebody was gagged or couldn't talk, no, go look at the tapes. Go look at the tapes.
and then come back and talk about who was talking and who wasn't, because there was all kinds of conversation going on, all kinds of amendments flying around, and little of it made sense to me at that time in my first term here in the House.
Representative Moline.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And, you know, I just wanted to point out to members that we've been here for less than an hour and a half, and we've already run the 13th Amendment that was scheduled for this evening. I know we have one to go with Representative Dowd's amendment. But, you know, to me, this is an example of how this process does work. I liked the fact that we were able to look all these amendments over before we came in tonight, and that we all had a chance to figure out what they exactly were. I like that they were all in our folder when we got here. You know, I think of those late nights on the House floor where the pages are running around trying to get those amendments to our desk. And sometimes we actually have to wait around for everyone to have them so we can continue on with our business. I think tonight is a good example of how this does work. You know, all the authors here that have offered amendments have had very concise points. They've been able to explain their amendments very clearly. I think a lot of us that are here understand their amendments and understand what point they were trying to make, because we had the opportunity to look at them beforehand. So I just, you know, I know that the minority keeps saying that this is somehow designed to silence them or to stifle debate, but from what I've seen here tonight, it's doing the opposite of that. I think we're having a really good discussion. Everybody's been able to offer the amendments that they wanted, and we've been able to talk about them. So I hope that tonight serves as an example of how this process can help us be more functional in the future.
Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Pepin, I think two outstanding examples of not protecting the minority were put forth by your caucus during the last election cycle in the constitutional amendments they put forth. And they, anything else, could certainly be considered not in favor of the minority.
Representative Benson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Just quickly, when you get a couple of majors when you in teaching, you get assigned to all kinds of courses, and one of them I taught was debate and speech, and also coached debate teams there in Edina High School. And I agree with Representative Pepin's comment that rules are made to protect the minority. But there's another part of it, and that is the rules are also made to see that the will of the majority finally does prevail. And that's the reason I support this amendment, and I support it because it applies to my caucus as well as the minority caucus. If it somehow could be construed in some such way that it would be an oppressive to the minority, I would not support it. I do like to note that these rules, these escape mechanisms or off-ramps, whatever term we want to use for it, does put an additional responsibility on the leadership of the House. You had a majority leader and particularly also the Speaker of the House. And I guess in the long term, during this session, that will be the litmus test as to at least part of how these rules do work out. And I have confidence that you will fairly enforce these rules, and you will do it consistently. And I believe that the Speaker of the House that has been elected also will do that. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Benson. Representative Loon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Benson, I wasn't clear if you said you were supporting the amendment we're on, my amendment, or just the rule changes as a whole. I was very hopeful for a moment there, so I'd like to think. And honestly, listening to the debate, you know, I think I agree with virtually all of the comments made. Representative Lash said, you know, the 24-hour requirement is you know, better amendments, better drafting, more careful thought. You know, Representative Moline's comment about how we, you know, my other amendment, which didn't prevail, but one, I didn't roll call it, but, you know, having 2 days for a committee to hear it, we had a committee meeting where we discussed the proposed rules. We had another meeting for this process with the amending and everyone pre-filing. So again, all I'm trying to accomplish with this is, you know, well, then let's be consistent. Let's do it this way, where everybody and every bill that's considered on the floor is going to go through this 24-hour requirement. Don't allow an escape hatch, if you will, for when this transparency and this more thoughtful attention to detail in our drafting and what we're going to do is allowed to be set aside and ignored, because the time crunches will come when it is more expedient for us to be less transparent. So if that's what we want to do and be more thoughtful, then let's make that change and stick with it. So that is the point of my amendment. And it will be harder, but I think it will be better government, and I would ask members to support it.
Madam Chair.
Representative Benson.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, but if I added ambiguity, I'm sorry. I support the majority's position on this amendment, and so I just want to make that clear. It's useful in negotiating for buying a car, maybe, but not in this case.
Yeah. Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think my comments have probably passed. I was going to comment on Representative Purcell, just to point out that my recollection is the Rules Committee actually negotiated that, which isn't the whole body. And so if a member did want to go over the rules, there would have to be a discussion to give them permission or something. And I just feel strongly that it's our job to represent our constituents. And if that means I need to speak for an hour and a half on an amendment because that's how important it is to my district, I think that that's necessary. And I felt it was unfortunate that we had that gag order in place. And that was my only comment to you, Representative Purcell.
Well, it seems clear that the committee is glad that there's not going to be a gag order in this legislature. Seeing no further discussion, I guess we'll take the vote on Representative Loon renews her motion on
Madam Chair, could I ask for a roll call on this amendment?
Representative Loon requests a roll call on the A20 amendment.
Right. Representative Murphy?
No.
Representative Albright?
Yes.
Representative Benson?
No.
Representative Carlson?
No.
Representative Doubt?
Yes.
Representative Earhart?
No.
Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Hillstrom?
No.
Representative Hortman?
No.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Representative Lincheski?
No.
Representative Lesh?
No.
Representative Loon?
Yes.
Representative Moline?
No.
Representative Norton?
No.
Representative Pawlowski?
No.
Representative Pepin?
Yes.
Representative Purcell?
No.
Representative Sanders?
Yes.
Representative Torkelson?
Yes.
Representative Ward?
Yes.
Representative Woodard?
Yes.
Maybe 7 ayes and 15 noes. The amendment is not adopted. The A6 amendment, Representative Doubt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I have to confess that we apparently had a little communication error on this one, and this is not the amendment that I thought it was. So I'm not going to offer this one, but if you would let me describe what I thought this was supposed to do, and I will bring that amendment to the floor. And I want to do that in an effort of transparency.
Representative Doubt, if you'd like to describe it briefly, that would be
just
great.
Really
so
quick.
Representative Abler would also like to say it.
Oh, okay.
So.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate your indulgence. And I really do mean this in an effort of transparency. I think that I think it would accomplish everything that the majority is trying to do while still giving some of the flexibility to the minority. And the amendment that I want to offer on the floor, basically in the event that a bill is on the calendar and the calendar is continued, it would open up a new window for amendments to be offered. They would still, however, have to meet the 24-hour rule of the next time it could hit the floor. But what I'm afraid of here is that if a bill stays on the calendar for months and months, and I think, you know, it still accomplishes, meets the 24-hour rule, everybody gets to see it, it's the most transparency, but it also offers flexibility to someone of either party, majority or minority, to offer amendments, you know, and we all know that a bill can sit on the calendar for a long time. So that's the amendment that I thought this was, and sorry for the miscommunication, but I wanted to just, in an effort of transparency, tell you about it so you can think about it, and I hope to talk with you about it in the meantime and earn your support for it as well. I think you'll find that it's a very reasonable thing, and I think accomplishes what everybody here has talked about tonight that they want to accomplish. So simple amendment, but I'll bring that one to the floor, and I apologize about the communication error.
It's like in a Super Bowl ad teaser.
Yeah, so, apparently. Apparently. And then if you'll let me continue, Madam Chair, I'm also not going to offer that A21 amendment, and I appreciate your note. I hope I'm not telling secrets, but I'm not going to put you in the position to rule on that one. I will bring it to the floor, although I think I'm technically right. I don't think our goal here tonight was to parse words and to put anybody into a difficult position, so I'm not even going to ask you to rule on that one. I will, however, if you would just do me one favor, also in an effort of transparency, I think I gave you about 50 copies of that. Pass that out so everybody can see that one as well, and then we'll bring that one to the floor.
Representative Dowd, thank you very much for that, and I'd ask the pages to come on up and make sure everybody in the committee gets a copy of this. And then it is, you know, our custom that if someone wants to testify, they may. Representative Abler, I'd ask you to be brief because it's still St. Patrick's Day, if you'll remember that. You don't. That's okay. Please welcome yourself to the committee. Introduce yourself. And
thank you, Madam Chair. It's St. Patrick's Day somewhere.
It is. That's right.
No. You know, I've never been on the Rules Committee. I've testified now twice at the Rules Committee, counting this one, and it's just been a wonderful experience already. And I will be brief, but I just wanted to offer some points of view as a person who's taken great interest in the rules since I figured out that rules were important after my second or third year. And it will be brief, but there's a little substance, and there'll be some amendments coming to the floor that maybe you'll actually like that I'm going to reference here. I can't bring any amendments anyway because I'm not on the committee, but good, the amendment. And that the biggest thing I want to mention is that culture changes in this place don't happen overnight. And when one side makes a big change and didn't bring the other side into that change, and it results in quite a change in required behavior, that's a culture change. And it gets taken in a way that may not be intended by the majority upon the minority. And that would be true of every rule change that's ever been foisted upon the other side by the people who are now in charge. When Swigum came in 98, 99, when I came, I had no idea what changes they made, but apparently they got rid of this whole special orders thing, and probably the minority, Representative Carlson, probably, this is terrible, no more special orders. And I don't imagine he talked to you about it. I would predict that. And so if there were going to be, and I read the information put out by Representative Pawlowski from Mr. McCormick and Mr. Griffin, and none of that said just jam it down the throats of the people you're trying to work with. It talked about a collegial, it was implied to be collegial and a collaborative approach. And if these changes lack anything, it's the collaborative part. And when people don't feel they're being collaborated with, they take it in the worst possible way. And they actually do question your motives, Madam Chair. Perhaps not out loud, because that would be inappropriate, but in their head they're thinking about that. So just on the terms of the content, and so I think that umbrage that people are going to take about that will be around for some time, and I still would urge some collegiality and some bipartisan work on this stuff. I won't repeat things that have been talked about, but on line 1116, these amendments to amendments must be germane. That rule is written kind of in a complex way. And in particular, when it talks about any new purpose, I believe that's inappropriate. You cannot question the motives. If my purpose is to meddle with your bill and make it take longer, that's actually a motive you can't ask me about. I want to improve it. I want to put it my own way. And I'd suggest that you delete the phrase any new purpose on line 1116. And if you could restate it simply that an amendment to an amendment must be germane to the amendment to which it's offered, that's what you mean. And I don't think you want to be questioning motives, so that's my advice about that. You might see an amendment there. We can talk about that, Madam Chair. 1235, the duplicate amendment matter. This is problematic, and we need to have a workaround. I was talking to one of your staff about that. There are times when it's just purely mischief to offer the same amendment 12 times. The Conderator bill comes to mind, which I hated even as a freshman. And those of you who weren't here, it's just too bad you couldn't experience that. but there's a reason to offer duplicate amendments sometimes, if only to multiple track a bill, a really good bill that people like, I had one bill I did three times on three different bills. Only one survived because two ran afoul of something. So there's a legitimate purpose to do that, and I think you need to come up with a workaround about that. Then this the other thing I'm going to mention is this amendment-to-amendment issue. Some of you spend your whole life here, and I'm so happy for you that this is where you like to spend your days. I really like my home on Friday, actually keeping a day job going. And so when the amendments are going to be posted at noon, especially for the minority, because maybe the majority is talking about what they're doing, and then but they're public at noon, I have to like hopefully get to read all those bill introductions and what's going to be offered, and then think of what I might want to offer. I have no benefit of any staff or colleagues around to come up with that. So if I think of an idea that I want to do in an amendment to an amendment, and I call Mr. Michael because it's a tax bill and it's complicated, and I ask him for his help, well, he's actually busy with three of the people offering the same amendment to the amendment or a similar thing. He's tied up. And so if the day winds on and I can't get a hold of him due to my duties at my clinic, or he's just frankly busy all day, or I get him at 5 o'clock and finally we get to work on his amendment and it's complicated and I actually want to redraft it, my time is expired. And so that's a policy gap that you have, which would actually truly cause a lack of input on this matter. And there needs to be a workaround to that somehow, and I'm not going to offer that tonight, but it's a gap. And furthermore, there needs to be some way to exempt even amendments. Very often I don't sit on all the committees, nor any of you, and we hear a bill that I've never seen before. It's like, really, what are they doing? How come Hackbarth let that get by? Why didn't he bring that to my attention, or why didn't I bring something to someone else's attention if I'm the lead? So here's a really bad bill, that even the author agrees should be fixed, but it's got this little rule on there. We can't change any words in it or have an amendment offered, and there needs to be a workaround for that. Or, of course, the rules to be rescued, and that's going to be clumsy. You only have so many hours to spend in this committee, as nice as it is to testify, Madam Chair. I don't think you want to have the Human Services Group, which would fill this room, testifying on some bill that we messed up in our committee to fix it up, and then have members... looks like very few of whom serve on that committee. So those are workaround issues that you're going to have to come up with. As this goes forward, OU will indeed create some lack of input that you hope for. If I were going to offer some advice, I would not do this major change, and I would set up a committee of six, three on a side, and if four of the six could agree on something, you bring that forward, it'll take 10 minutes. And I think I'll be suggesting on the floor that you establish such a committee anyway to go and consider these workarounds and other matters. Rep. Simpolowski, I admire your prowess in this topic and your work in the past. I didn't serve on that committee. I might have had some different opinions. There was a minority report, as I read, and only 12 people voted, so that's a representative group, and good for you working. But if those ideas were good then, I would think that at least one Republican, 2, 5, would agree. These make a lot of sense. And that's my testimony, Madam Chair. And I wouldn't have come to darken your table here if I wouldn't have woke up thinking about this 2 days in a row for fear of some of the unintended consequences that may happen, which I have de-emphasized in my commentary. I've just talked to you about the policy matters, and look forward to see you on the floor, and I'll work with you in the meantime. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Abler. Representative Carlson.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion. I move that the permanent rules of the House, as amended, be recommended to pass.
Representative Dell.
Roll call.
A roll call has been requested. Representative Carlson moves adoption of the permanent rules as amended. Ms. Nachtigal.
Representative Murphy.
Aye.
Representative Albright.
No.
Representative Benson.
Aye.
Representative Carlson.
Aye.
Representative Doubt.
No.
Representative Earhart.
Yes.
Representative Hansen.
Yes.
Representative Hillstrom.
Yes.
Representative Hortman.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Lincheski.
Yes.
Representative Lesh.
Aye.
Representative Loon.
No.
Representative Moline.
Yes.
Representative Norton.
Yes.
Representative Pawlowski.
Yes.
Representative Pepin.
No.
Representative Purcell.
Aye.
Representative Sanders.
No.
Representative Torkelson.
No.
Representative Ward.
Yes.
Representative Woodard.
No.
being 7 ayes and, excuse me, 15 ayes and 7 nays, the motion is adopted. There being no more business before the committee, we're adjourned.